Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It is Friday, October 7th, 2022. Alex Berutha here with Shannon McEwen and Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
It's more fantasy basketball prep. Today we are focusing on point guards, and then we will move on to the Southeast Division Preview. Let's jump right into it. Ken, let's start with the top point guard on the RotoWire boards.
Yes, on the RotoWire board, key distinction. We have James Harden of the Philadelphia 76ers. RotoWire's more bullish on the beard than most folks. We've got a Harden at number two in both our 8 and 9 category rankings, but his average ADP is about 8.5. Consider his per game stats over 21 games with Philly last year. 22 points, 10.5 assists, hello, 1.2 steals, a surprising 7.1 boards, plus 2.2 made threes with elite free throw percentage, but a harmful field goal percentage of around a little over 40%. I think a full off season of working with Philadelphia should work wonders. Remember, he shot over 46% the year prior in 2021. And I think Harden's going to lead the league in assists. He certainly will if he hits that, if he repeats that 10.5 per game from last year with the Sixers. So that's why we have Harden number two on our board overall, number one at point guard. But Shannon, tell us about the nation's top point guard in Dallas.
Yeah, the true number one point guard in fantasy hoops this year is Luka Doncic. Luka is going to absolutely explode this year. You know, it's hard to say that about a guy that's already averaged 28.5, 9, and 8.7 in the season like he did last year. But I do expect that we'll see another level to Luka this year. The Mavs aren't as good as they've been in the past. They lost Brunson. Yeah, they lost Kristaps Porzingis. I realize he was traded midseason last year, but this isn't a team that has other stars for Luka to lean on. He's going to have to shoulder the load more so than he's done in the past. I fully expect him to top 30 points per game and be closer, even closer to a triple-double per game than he was last season. I think this is the year. He's also, you know, he's played 61, 65, 66 games the past 3 years. As they're leaning more heavily on him, this is a team that will want to go and try to make the playoffs. So I expect Luka to also play however many games his body can handle. I love him this year. I would, depending on the format, it's hard to pass up on Jokic and Giannis. Those are two great options at top of the draft. Jokic is still my number one overall, but depending on the format, I absolutely am considering Luka with the number two overall pick.
Alex, break this tie before you dive into the third point guard.
I would take Doncic, if that's what you're asking.
That is what I'm asking, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Doncic also pretty much the odds-on leader for favorite to win MVP wherever you look. So that, I think that also helps his case. But yeah, I would rather take Doncic, even though I do like Harden this year. Let's go to the next point guard on our list, which is Steph Curry, average ADP of 6.1. Little bugger for 9 category, then 8 category, since he is a fantastic, he takes care of the ball. He's missed some games in recent years. I don't want to say he's an injury risk. He's avoided any major injuries. But, you know, the Warriors are pretty fine with resting him at this point, as they are with Draymond and Clay. I'm still drafting Steph Curry relatively high. I think you can easily still draft him top 5. I have no issues with that. You know, he's going to – having him on your team basically allows you to not have to worry about threes the rest of the draft. Not that threes are particularly hard to find in fantasy anymore, but he's just so dominant from a three-point perspective. His free throw percentage – he's one of the best free throw shooters of all time. Keeps his field goal percentage high with all that. We're talking about Steph Curry. He's one of the greatest point guards to ever play the game. So at some point, I'm saying what everybody knows already.
Not worried about his age 34 season.
No, not really. I mean, not as, you know, I'm not that worried about Harden either. I mean, Harden's younger, but has shown more wear and tear. So if I'm not that worried about Harden, I don't think I can be worried about Steph Curry.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top 3 things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
All right, well, let's go to our sleeper and or underrated list. Shannon, start us off with your sleeper or underrated top point guard.
All right, I'm going to San Antonio. Trey Jones, third-year point guard. I expect we're going to see him really flourish this year. You got no Murray in San Antonio anymore. This is a team that's looking for someone to run the offense, and Trey Jones is going to be that guy. Last season, per 36 numbers, 13 points, 4.9 rebounds, 7.3 assists, 1.3 steals. This team is looking for people who can play heavy minutes. It's possible he plays 32, 33 minutes for the Spurs this season. And if Trey Jones does that, he easily could be 11, 12 points per game, 6 assists. The steals and three-pointers, this is where we're going to have an issue. I think the percentages are going to be fine, but he's the rare point guard these days that does not hit three-pointers. So, you know, if you're looking for assist after pick 100, Trey Jones is available. He's a guy to target. Just realize that you are going to find three-pointers elsewhere and possibly steals as well.
Yeah, Trey Jones, someone I really like this year, especially for 9 cat, because his assist to turnover ratio is ridiculous. Plays a lot like his brother Tyus Jones in Memphis. But yeah, someone who, you know, how the totem pole in San Antonio is going to shake out is a question. Trey Jones isn't really a scorer, so it'll probably go like Keldon Johnson, Vassell in terms of scoring. But I think Trey Jones, the focus for him is going to be setting everyone up, if there really is anybody to set up. But I think he's a very good passer, and he should have a really high floor as a, you know, 6-7 assists a game guy. Ken, who is your underrated point guard?
I'm going with kind of a point guard / shooting guard combo in Dallas. Spencer Dinwiddie. Shannon already touched on Jalen Brunson's move to the Knicks, and that shoves Dinwiddie from a reserve to starting role. He's got an average ADP of 123, but on RotoWire, we rank him as high as 48 for 9 category turnover leagues. This Dallas team is thin. He qualifies as both point guard and shooting guard. And Dinwiddie averaged 16 points a game in Dallas, even when Brunson was on the squad. The Mavericks are struggling to put a quality small forward out there. So there's going to be plenty of minutes at shooting guard. It's not like thankfully their wings stink. So I think 30 minutes a night for Dinwiddie is a lock. We could see 2-3 pointers a game. He's going to have more of a shooting guard assist total than a point guard, but it'll be over 4. So I like getting Dinwiddie late in the later rounds. Alex, who do you have at sleeper point guard? I think it's quite the youngster, right?
Yeah, Kyle Lowry, my sleeper point guard. Depending on what you consider a sleeper, I'm just mostly going based off of ADPs. But average ADP of 95, he ranked 51st in per game value last year for 8 cat leagues. He only played in 63 games. A lot of those absences, though, were due to a personal issue, and it seemed like he had a lot of time off. When he came back, he didn't play very well, but he still ranked 61st in total value despite missing about 20 games. So I understand people are worried about his age. He's 36. I understand people are worried about his games played recently, and that track record isn't fantastic either. But I think if you're looking in that 95, 100-ish range, I don't really think there's too many other places where you can secure, I don't want to say like guaranteed, but really strong potential for top 60 per game value after pick 100. Miami's still a relatively shallow team. Gabe Vincent and Victor Oladipo, they showed some stuff in the playoffs last year. I still really don't trust them that much. And Butler is due to miss some games as well. And Kyle Lowry's going to step up in those instances. So I just think if you can get him after pick 100, to me, that's, you got to pull the trigger.
And not a lot of point guards with a bumpus like Wes Unsell. Kyle Lowry, stout.
It's true.
In the point guard position.
Give me that cake.
All right, let's quickly move on. Yeah, quickly transition to our overrated point guards. I will start off. My overrated point guard being De'Aaron Fox, who has an average ADP of 35. He showed practically zero improvement over the past 3 years. And sometimes when he improves somewhere else, he falls somewhere else. It's just not a steady increase. You know, people give Ben Simmons a lot of crap for like not improving as a shooter. De'Aaron Fox has improved less as a shooter than Ben Simmons has over the past 4 years. He's coming off his worst fantasy season in 4 years, ranked 62nd per game in 8 cat last year. He's a bad three-point shooter, bad free throw shooter. Sabonis is there now. He's going to handle the ball a lot. I think Keegan Murray is legit. Looked like the second, third best player on their team during the preseason game against the Lakers that I watched. They have a ton of guards who can handle the ball now. Malik Monk is there. Kevin Herter, Davion Mitchell is the backup. I don't think he's going to be that sort of like number one hub of the offense like he has in the past. I think he is who he is, and I just would rather wait until pick 50 to grab him.
If you want to be an elite point guard in the NBA, you need to hit your free throws, because the ball needs to be at your hand at the end of the game. And he's a mediocre shooter at 75%, which just irritates me. Work on your game. Shannon, who do you have as your overrated point guard?
My overrated point guard is the perennial overrated point guard, Kyrie Irving. He's a skilled dude. We know he's very good at basketball. The main issue is his ADP. On Yahoo, he's going 16th. 16th. A top 20 pick on a guy who's played 60, 67, 20, 54, 29 games. I can't do it. There's no way I'm going to spend a top 20 pick on a guy like Kyrie Irving when I can go Tyrese Halliburton, Cade Cunningham, somewhere else. Give me some young legs who are going to play 70 games. I can't do it with Kyrie. I know he's going to be 25, 5, and 5. That's fine. But games matter. You can't predict
the mystery absences.
No, games matter. There's no way. He's way too risky for a top 20 pick.
I agree. Yeah, it's just great per game. He's ranked 6th per game, ACAP value, each of the past 3 years. But I agree. I would rather wait until about pick 25, which is where I think about I got him in our five-man league that we did like a month or so ago. All right, Ken, who's your guy?
I'm going to go with someone I'd love to have on my NBA team, but he's overrated this year for fantasy, and that's DeJounte Murray, now with the Atlanta Hawks. There's no way Murray and Trae Young both average 9 dimes per game as they both did last year. There's just not enough basketball to go around. Also, I'm not sure Murray's slashing mid-range game fits with Young and the Hawks offense. Defensively, Murray is a great addition for the Hawks. But on offense, the ball will often be out of his hands with Young around. I expect a dip in points, assists, and rebounds. Atlanta is a better rebounding team than San Antonio. Still happy to grab Murray in the mid-30s, but he's going ADP of 24. He's as high as 21 on Yahoo. For that high a price, no thank you.
I'm with you on that. We'll touch on him more in a bit because we're talking the Southeast Division. Atlanta is part of that. They played the Bucks yesterday. They're going to play the Bucks again tomorrow at 11. So people who are kind of interested to see the fit between Murray and Trey will have an opportunity to do so. But before we get to that, our friends at Caesars. With the NFL kicking off and the NBA season nearing, today is the best time to try Caesars Sportsbook. Anyone who is at least 21 years old and in a licensed Caesars Sportsbook state can create a new account and redeem the Caesars Sportsbook promo code ROTO15. That's ROTO15. The promo code gives new users a risk-free first bet up to $1,500. Visit Caesars.com/sportsbooks or download the Caesars Sportsbook app today. And don't forget promo code ROTO15 when signing up.
That's ROTO15.
All right, let's get to our Southeast Division fantasy preview. Let's just jump right back with the Atlanta Hawks. Will the pairing of Trae Young and DeJounte Murray work? And how will it affect their fantasy value? So in this first preseason game against Milwaukee that I was alluding to, Trae Young had 22 points, but only 3 assists. DeJounte Murray with 25 points and 9 assists. We kind of got Ken's thoughts on that. Shannon, do you have any strong leans on this Trae versus Murray situation?
I'm fine still picking Murray with a top 30 pick. I think he's going to be very solid. Basically, he'll come down in scoring a little bit, come down in rebounds and assists, but I don't think it's going to be very dramatic. I also think we'll see some improvements elsewhere. The fact that he was basically playing with, he's playing with a much better group of teammates this year around, and I think that could help some of his efficiencies. Maybe he'll be able to take more chances on the defensive end and get more steals. I like Murray still as a top 30 fantasy player. Luckily, you can even get him a little bit lower than that. I've seen him drop, and I've landed him with like pick 35. But 25 to 35, I'm okay taking him in that range.
Yeah, I think that 30 to 35 range is fine. You're getting one of the best defensive guards in the NBA. 2 steals a game could lead the NBA. Okay, we also have the Clint Capella versus Onyeka Okongwu debate. I think both guys seem to be going, like Capella will get drafted, depending on what league you're in, anywhere from like 65 to like 90. Okongwu gets drafted in that like 100 to 120 range. Do you think that this is just a situation where they're going to slowly knock down Capella's minutes and Okongwu rises up? I mean, Capella's also dealt with some injury issues lately. I mean,
well, you know, the bummer is with John Collins and his healthy injury up and downness, it'd be great if one of those two could kind of play a four, but they can't. They're both classic centers. They're not stretching anything. So I think, yeah, they do look at Capella's age and the shift's inevitable. It's just more of a matter of when, though. I mean, do you want to wait the first half of the season? You can get, you know, it's funny, though, the range on both these guys, ADP wise, in the drafts I've been, has been all over the place. So I just kind of play which of those two by ear, who's going cheaper in the particular draft I'm in. It's funny, you know, Capella is not the default first Atlanta center brought up. So if people go nuts on a Kongu in a draft, I'm happy to get Capella and vice versa.
Capella's still the center to own in Atlanta. I'm not as worried about him. I do think that Okongwu is going to see more minutes this year, but Capella's 28 or so minutes per game, I think, is secure. This team was also going to be interesting in the closing minutes. Like, I expect them to go small and have Collins at center, Hunter at five with Bogdanovich in there and their two star guards. So it'll be interesting to see how often they use that kind of the Atlanta version of the lineup of death.
Capella is only 28 years old. I think a lot of us assume he's older because he started as a 20-year-old, got major minutes right away in Houston. But he is only 28 and did play 74 games last year. So, you know, the market might be overreacting.
Yeah, if you're looking for a flyer, I'm kind of interested in DeAndre Hunter. Late in draft, showed kind of an outburst 2 years ago, has been dealing with injuries since. I know Nick Whalen got him in our dynasty or in our keeper auction draft for $1, which really upset me. I was waiting for a guy with higher upside for this season. I think that's a really good pickup. But he had 17 points in that preseason game, looked good. Let's move on to Charlotte. This isn't exactly a pure fantasy question, but does this team have a puncher's chance at being the worst in the Eastern Conference? And I guess a more direct fantasy question, which may inform the first part of the question. I'll kick it to you, Shannon. Who do you think fills this void of Miles Bridges? You have like Oubre, Hayward, those are options, but there are other guys too.
Well, I do think it's going to be basically a trio of players that are going to do it, with Oubre and Hayward being two of them, and P.J. Washington. You know, P.J. Washington came into camp, looks like almost like a different person. You know, take that with a grain of salt. It's that time of year where you're going to get those kind of reports. But he does look like he's in great shape. Hayward, we know what he can do. And then Kelly Oubre, I feel like, is
for 15 games.
Ooh, Hayward?
Yeah,
absolutely. I do feel like Kelly Oubre is being a little bit overlooked, though. This is a guy who scored 15 points per game last year, 4 rebounds, hit a ton of three-pointers, took 7.3 three-pointers per game, knocking down 2.5 of them. I think he's going to be the guy who actually steps up in Bridges' absence. You know, back to your original question about does this team have a puncher's chance? They're a LaMelo Ball injury away from being possibly the worst team in the East. But I still think people saying that this team is garbage, like, you're overrating Miles Bridges significantly. Miles Bridges is not the reason why that team was good last year. They were competitive last year. They're almost the exact same team as last year. So if you liked them last year, I don't know why you hate them this year.
I think the Pacers in Detroit might have a word to say Charlotte being the worst.
Yeah, and Terry Rozier kind of still gives them a high floor for those games where LaMelo is out. But I'm with you on everything you said, Shannon. You know, I
don't sleep on P.J. Washington.
Yeah, P.J. Washington, my starting center in Stake League. I think that is good and bad. let's go to Miami. Ken, how do you think the absence of P.J. Tucker affects the rotation? I mean, he's a low-usage guy.
Yeah, it's more of a basketball problem. It's more of a basketball problem than a fantasy problem. You know, fantasy wise, the guys that just stand in the corner hoping the pass comes to them is not necessarily the leader of your stat squad. But it certainly weakens them on defense. But I don't know really how much it creates opportunity. They'd love Duncan Robinson to go back to 2021 numbers, especially with all that money they gave him. But Max Strus is like, I'm playing better. Give me the minutes. We'll see. I've seen Caleb Martin crawling up draft boards, and really with the void at power forward, that kind of makes a lot of sense. He's not a classic power forward by any stretch, but there's a big minutes opportunity at power forward. Caleb Martin is a late round flyer I'm a fan of.
Martin's a late round flyer option. I think Oladipo seems to be climbing up draft boards as well.
My knee hurts every time someone says Oladipo. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. I think he showed some stuff in the playoffs last year, but I think if you're expecting him to play more than 25 minutes, can't do it. And at that point, it's really only a pretty deep league guy, like a 16 teamer. All right, let's go to Orlando. We got a little bit of a log jam in the front court here. Rookie Paolo Banchero, who is not shooting very well in the preseason, but it showed defensive stuff. I'm not that worried. But we also have Wendell Carter Jr., Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac, if he exists, Franz Wagner, and Chuma. I think he wants it to be pronounced OKK now, but it's really hard for me to not call him Chuma Okeke.
Okeke had a ring to it.
Yeah, it does.
I got a question for you two about Orlando. Because I've been in some drafts where people are just gaga for Mo Bamba, and I don't see how the minutes work out, right? Doesn't Banchero gobble up 30 minutes of power forward and shove Bamba behind Carter? And I'm not a big Wendell Carter fan, but how does Bamba see 25-plus minutes a night?
He doesn't. It's not going to happen. It'd be a Carter injury. There's no way. Bamba's great. He's a fine player. I like him. In an ideal situation, he would have went to a different team this offseason because he's not going to be able to match the minutes per game that he saw last season. I fully believe that he's going to be back around like 15 to 18 minutes per game.
Especially if Isaac plays anything this year, right?
In the preseason, I think people are seeing him starting in the preseason and they're going, oh, look, they're going to do this again. Again, Jonathan Isaac not playing. Markel Fultz is out, so they're sliding the lineups down.
Wagner was out one of the games. So I'd be very surprised if Bamba's in the starting lineup on opening night.
At some point, people know his per minute numbers, and they'll be like, well, if I draft him here and Wendell Carter gets hurt 2 weeks into the season, then I'm doing great and I don't have to bid for this guy on the waiver wire. But I would just rather take a guy with more full season upside than Mo Bamba. Let's go to Washington. So we have Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn, for their first full season together. Can both of these guys stay healthy?
No. No. On this squad, I've said it before, give me Kyle Kuzma. I don't like him on a real basketball sense, but fantasy-wise, he's a stat monger. He almost got a block a game last year, led the team in rebounds, hits threes, decent percentages. He's going to be the number two guy when Beal and Porzingis's eventual injuries all take place. And Beal's on the downswing. He's not the top 10 player that a healthy Bradley Beal was a couple of years ago. The John Wall's gone. Well, not sure Beal's body can handle being the star 75 games a season.
Yeah, they have a bit of a logjam in the front court, too. You have Porzingis there. You have Gafford there, who I like, but it's tough to draft him because it seems like they're going to start Porzingis at center.
Logjam implies a lot of talent, Alex.
It does, but if we're calling Orlando a logjam, then...
Number one picks. You got a lot of lottery picks, at least, in there.
Yeah, one guy. I think you have Hachimura, Kuzma, Avdija's in there. They got a lot going on at forward and center there, but I'm with you, Ken. I mean, Kuzma's a tough case, but I don't know. Let's see. I'm kind of curious where we did a, Ken, you were in our SiriusXM expert league draft the other day. I'm kind of curious. That was on, we did that live on SiriusXM. I was gonna say, I'm curious at where Porzingis went. I took him in the fifth round. I don't mind that. I think at some point, you know, he's got second round upside per game. So draft him in the fifth. All right, Ken, it's time for the old man rant.
Ooh, argh, tanking for Victor. Yes, Wembanyama or Wemby looks amazing, but the tanking already bothers me and it's barely started. Well, I think you can say Utah and San Antonio are already in full tank mode. Boo! Bring on regulation! How about this? Win less than 25 games and you go to the G League! I do love the picture of Wemby standing next to Rudy Gobert, and Wemby's just towering over the Stifle Tower. I love it. Anyway, regardless, consider this a preemptive rant against NBA tanking. Arrgh!
But do you think he looks really good? Did you watch it? Have you seen that? I've been seeing the highlights.
Oh, he looks amazing. He looks fantastic. Yeah. 7'4" and he moves like Kevin Durant. That's... Yeah, like, yeah, gimme. Gimme, gimme.
Yeah, unlike anything I've ever seen. Scoot Henderson also looked very good in that exhibition game. So
it is interesting that Utah dumping Frenchman Rudy Gobert could help them a great deal to draft Frenchman Wemby.
There's that picture of Wembanyama and Gobert standing next to each other. And Wembanyama is clearly taller than Rudy Gobert.
Towering over him. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to post it on the article, on the podcast article. Yeah, it's a great picture. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought Rudy Gobert was tall. Then there's like a coach or an agent on the other side of Wemby who kind of gets cut off. They show like this much of him, but he comes to like his waist.
Ridiculous upside there. I think we avoided any mispronounced names except maybe Wembanyama, but we should just if there's a way to permanently add something to a Google Wemby Doc and make it unable to delete, we should just put that in there. So thank you everybody for joining us in the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It is presented by Caesars. Ken, take us out of here.
Let's go to Orlando, where Terrence Ross vented about his disdain for Captain America.
Oh.
Quote, he's too self-righteous, too noble. I understand you're the perfect human and have the best morals, but you almost get the sense he thinks he's better than everybody. There's no depth, no dark side. I would say the same about the Magic front court. But anyway, attention passengers, this 3-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.